Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Okay, hello. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. It's actually your 1 hour inspirational programming, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes. Thank you for joining us this evening. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. It's really a part two of last night's show. And last night we did how to keep the spirit of Christmas throughout the year, how to keep the spirit of Christmas throughout the year. And tonight we're talking about keeping that Christmas spirit, keeping the spirit of love after Christmas, keeping the spirit of love after Christmas. So Lady Love will not be with us tonight. She had a personal matter that she had to attend to today. So certainly we our prayers and thoughts are with her, with whatever's going on with her personal event on this Christmas day. And Merry Christmas to all of you all out there. I certainly hope that you've had a wonderful day. It's brought you everything that you've wanted. And now we're going to be talking about how to keep that spirit of love. You know, Christmas is a time when it seems like we're all so loving and kind and thoughtful. You know, it just seems like we want to be the heroes and the sheroes and just help everybody that we can. We're going to do for others. And so now, you know, I want to talk tonight about how can we keep that same spirit of love. If Christmas is about love and about Christ, you know, the reason behind the season, then how do we keep that spirit of love after Christmas? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And then we're going to ask the question in our little thoughtful Bible study, is love a spirit? Is love a spirit? Lady C, that looks like she and I will be here, and Monica will more than likely join us for tonight's programming as well. Lady C, Merry Christmas, and I hope you've had a wonderful day.
I really did have a wonderful day. Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope everyone enjoyed their day as well as much as I did, which today is our Jesus Christ birthday, which is a big reason to celebrate by itself. So, like I said, I hope everyone had a wonderful day as much as I did.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So now, tonight we're going to be talking about, you know, that spirit of love after Christmas. You know, and you heard me, Lady C, earlier talk about, you know, we want to do so much for other people. We want to be the heroes and the sheroes and just, I mean, why is it that we hear more about this doing for others during this time of year than any other time of the year? In your opinion, why do you think that is?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, Lady C.
Okay, sorry. Okay, because you blanked completely out. It's like you went silent.
Oh, I'm sorry,
have missed
Lady
the
C.
First beginning.
Yes,
okay,
I'm saying
what was
why,
the question?
You know, when we talk about love, the spirit of love, and we want to do everything during the Christmas holiday. We want to show that, oh, I care about you. I want to do for you, the less fortunate, and so forth and so on. We're more neighborly. We're kind. You know, it just seems like we go all out. oh, let me help you with this. Let me do that. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Why is that we do this basically during this time of year and we don't do that come March? You don't even think about helping somebody with a bill. In your opinion, why do you think it's like that? Lady C, can you hear me? Okay, maybe we're chiming out. Lady C. All right, let me, Lady C, tell me when you can hear me. Can you hear me now? All right, maybe your phone's on mute. All right, we'll try again. So if you all can hear me, stay with me, and we're going to continue. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to 954-682. 954-682 is the call of the air. 954-682.
Good
and who do we have with us this evening? Good evening. Who do we have with us?
Pastor Howard.
Oh, Pastor Howard. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. Now I can hear you very well. Pastor Howard, Merry Christmas to you.
A Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
Yes. So, Pastor Howard, let me ask you this question, and maybe you can help me out here. And the question is, I mean, why are we so engulfed in wanting to help people during this holiday season? I mean, come March and April and May, I mean, it seems like we're not thinking about people like this, the same way. And what's making the difference?
I think around Christmas time, we experience what we call a spirit of gifting. But that's for the world. Believers have a spirit of gifting year-round. Every day is a Christmas day. We understand that. But the world thinks during November, December, that's when it's time to show your love. Show how much you love and appreciate people. But it's year-round. It should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
that's the reason for this season.
Right. And those of you all that don't know, Pastor Howard is the pastor of Empowerment Ministries. And am I saying that right, Pastor Howard? Divine Empowerment Ministries. You know, I normally get it right, but it's been Christmas today, and I don't know why I got it off. It's just been that exciting of a day. But she's also collaborated with me on the heart of Christmas for our giveaways, and I want to thank her for that publicly, along with her daughter's organization as well. And tell us a little bit about your ministry before we proceed, because I want to go back to my co-host and ask her tonight, what are her thoughts once again? Because we had some technical difficulty. But tell us a little bit about Divine Empowerment Ministries, Pastor Howard, please. Pastor Howard, are we having technical?
Oh,
let me
sorry.
Go in. Yes, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, I can hear you. Divine Empowerment Ministries is a ministry that's built on the true revelation of God's word. For believers to get to a place where they are living in the divine, supernatural power of God. There come a time where we grow up, we should mature in our spiritual life to a place where we operate from the supernatural, because we understand who we are. So that's what our ministry does, a lot of outreach. We deal with, we feed the seniors, which we call our silver snappers. And we also provide services to them as needed. And we refer them when we can't. And services such as places to a place to stay. We work with them with paperwork. We feed them once a week. We prepare a full course meal, home-cooked meal for them. And we're growing by the week as the word spreads.
Well,
and that's all we're able to do right now is in our outreaches, operate under our outreach ministries. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's very exciting, and to hear you say that, because and that's one of the reasons why I sought you all out to collaborate with you all, because I love what you're doing. And I'm hoping, my prayer is that in the new year we can find more organizations to collaborate with so that we can not just think about this time of the year, you know, not just November, December, but we can be out there on the forefront all throughout the year. Let me bring my co-host in tonight. Lady C, what are, you know, I'm going to ask you this to maybe respond to this part later. What are some strategies you think of that we can keep the spirit of love after Christmas going all year long? But before we get to that part, I want to know, in your opinion, what I was asking you, which is the same thing I asked Pastor Howard. Why do you think we don't do this all year long? And I heard Pastor Howard say that, you know, as Christians, the world looks at November and December, but we as Christians or so-called followers of Christ, we should really be out there on the forefront all year long trying to help those that need help. What do you think?
Okay. First, I just want to make sure you guys can hear me.
We can hear you now, loud and clear.
Okay, awesome, because I kept hearing you guys, but nobody could hear me. Okay, it was self-control. It's self-control within ourselves. We're all based, I mean, we're selfish creatures, some of us, you know, so we only think of ourselves. And when Christmas comes around, we tend to think about other people. But if you have the spirit within you of giving, that's going to come naturally throughout the year. And just like Pastor Howard says, you know, maturity comes with age and understanding, you know. So just like in the Bible, it talks about when you're a child, you know, you think like a child, but when you become an adult, you put those childish things behind you or away, and you become an adult.
Right.
It's maturity. The more you think you involve yourself in the Bible, you more involve yourself more with Christ, you will think more positive, and you will start to give more and more throughout the year. And not
right.
just
and you
on
become
Christmas.
Less selfish. Right. When you start thinking about Christ,
selfish.
I believe. All, right, right. That's a very good point on both of you all part. Let's go ahead and bring our other co-host in. Ms. Monica, thank you for joining us tonight. It's always a pleasure to have you on board as well. How are you, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. I'm sorry to be late, but I'm happy to be here with you, and Merry Christmas to everyone. And that was a real well said, some valid point. I'm happy to be with you tonight. We're looking forward to having a beautiful time together.
Awesome, awesome. So glad. So let me go to the phone lines now, and let's find out. We're going to go to 561-396. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Who do we have on the air?
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, everyone. This is Beverly.
Beverly, thanks for joining us. Beverly, let me just ask you. We're talking about the spirit of love after Christmas. How do we develop that? If we don't have it, and I heard what Pastor Howard said, and I heard what Lady C was saying, you know, that, you know, they talked about the spirit of gifting and, you know, being selfish. And, I mean, how do we just take this same spirit that we have in November and December and transition it into the brand new year throughout the year, in your opinion?
Well, you know, as adults, we are set in our ways, so I don't know how anyone would get a person who is not a giving person to stretch Christmas into the rest of the year. But I always said that from a young person. I'll always say we should have Christmas every day, you know, because giving is, it should be something that comes natural to everyone. But a lot of people don't see it that way. They reserve Christmas for their giving time, and after that, you got to wait for Christmas again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, that's an interesting point. Pastor Howard, let me bring you in and ask, you know, it said that, I remember hearing this before, that people actually get in debt for that one day And then they spend the rest of the year trying to pay for the bills that they caused them to be in debt. Is that kind of like spirit giving? Is that gifting? What do you think? Or is that being really unwise?
Well, I believe that's being unwise. I believe that people sometimes, especially during this year, the year that we've had as a people, as a society, as a culture, as a nation, we have...
As a world,
Yes, as a world. You know, we're in a situation, but if it was in normal times, we develop a mindset. We don't develop a mindset to save and manage. We live for right now. People live for right now. And I think that's what causes us to say, okay, I'll wait. We wait for December 25th to begin to give our gifts. But gifts can be given at any time. If we wait until December, what happens is we tend to not have that money to get gifts that we desire or to purchase. You know, however, we don't have that mindset until December, and then we don't have the money to match the giving spirit that we develop. So it puts us in a bind where we would go in debt and say, oh, I'll take care of it next paycheck or the beginning of the year or maybe around income tax time. But then when
right.
income tax time comes, because you've mismanaged, you're gonna find yourself in a situation where you owe more than you have coming in, and then you are solely basing, you know, to be straightened out by, you know, something that is you're hoping in, which is not. Maybe you do get a refund every year, but then it's still a gamble, you know. So we don't have the mind to manage and to understand that gift giving is throughout the year and not just at a particular time. So I think that's
right.
where we go wrong. Yes.
Okay. And thank you for sharing that because, you know, something else comes to my mind, and I'm going to share this with you all. I'm a certified debt specialist as well. And one of the things that I, in the circle of learning about debt and how to get out of debt, one of the concepts that we've used, and you all may speak to this tonight as well or know someone that has information on it. I remember doing workshops and seminars on actually if you have a family of two or three and you wanted to really get those gifts where it wasn't going to be a hard time on you, a burden on you, right there in December where you're waiting for one check that you say, I need this check to get my kids these gifts. If you develop the concept of $2 a day or $3 maximum per day, I mean, we've got basically 365 days. If it's a leap year, 366 days. But let's just go with the average of 365 days a year. Now, that's going to be roughly $730. $730. Now, if you've got a couple of kids, I mean, if you want to spend $350 on them a piece, that's $700 right there. And so now as I look at this, it's like it's not going to place a burden on you if you just look at the concept of $2 a day, but you put that aside and you say, that's my Christmas fund. And, you know, we have a lot of these strategies that we use. And, ladies, I'm going to bring you in a moment because I'll ask you what were some of the strategies that you would suggest that people can keep that spirit of love. Because if you're facing crisis of not knowing how you're going to pay your bills, it's hard to keep that spirit of love after Christmas. But if people begin to start tomorrow, let's just say, and say, I'm going to put aside $2 every day. If I get paid every 2 weeks, I'm putting aside seven times two, that's 14. I mean, if it's 14 days you get paid, that's $28 that you're putting away, or $30 a month, whatever you decide. No, it's not 30 a month. It would be something more like 60 a month because you got 30 days or 31 days. So you're putting that money away, those monies away, and then at the end of the year, it's not a strain. Believe it or not, this is a strategy that we've talked about for years as a certified debt specialist, and then we have others. So, ladies, see, let me bring you in. Does that sound simple to you to put away $2 a day, or is
yes.
that a strategy that you could see yourself using?
I mean, to me, I always think ahead because I have, you know, I have my children. I have to think about $2 a day is perfect for the average worker because at the end of that year, it will bring them at least $800 and some. So that to me, that's more than enough, you know.
Right.
Me, I always start in July when I start my Christmas shopping. I start in July because I'm not one of those ones that will pay half on a bill just to make sure Christmas happens, or pay half of my rent just to make sure Christmas happens, or mortgage.
Right.
I am the type of person,
mm-hmm.
I start months earlier. So if, I agree, if people plan earlier, they won't have to struggle during December.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what it all boils down to. So part of maintaining, so tonight we're going to examine ways that we can, and Father, we're praying that you will intervene into our program tonight to help people. Thank you in the name of the Father. Amen. So now, you know, we're going to be talking about some strategies that people can probably implement to keep their spirit of love even after Christmas. So, Lady C, you've agreed with me that the $2 seems relatively easy, but do you have another strategy? And I will introduce also another strategy that people can use. Do you have anything just before I go there?
Like I said earlier, $2 is easy for me. It may not be easy for everybody because $2 a day is, you know, if some people who only make it like minimum wage, they're not going to be able to afford $2 a day. They just gonna have to, you know, afford what they can, even if it's, you know, $2 one month, $2 the next month, you know. Yeah, I mean, still that $2 gonna add up. I would just say shop accordingly to your budget, you know. Get what you need, you know, pay for what you need and not what you want. Like, you know, we have a lot of people like to get their hair and nails done. Guess what, if your nails are, right now it's corona time, you don't need, a lot of people in gloves anyway. If your nails don't need to be done, put that money away for Christmas. Invest in a savings account. You know, invest that money. If you're doing a lot of shopping on just a bunch of just shoes, it's okay to skip those pairs of shoes and go ahead and put that money away for Christmas. It's all about prioritizing your mind. If you prioritize your mind, you'll be able to make it happen during Christmas.
All right, excellent. I'm going to ask you to stand by. Beverly, let's bring you in, then we're going to bring Monica in. Beverly, what are your thoughts on keeping that spirit of love after Christmas? Because if I don't have to worry about my bills, like, oh, my goodness, I got to pay the water bill this week. You know, it's almost like bills have such a negative connotation, especially if you don't have the money to pay for it. So how can I keep my spirit of love after Christmas knowing, oh, God, I got to pay that water bill next week, and for some reason, the water bill is maybe unusually high or whatever it is, and you didn't expect it to be that. It could be the light bill. What do you do in cases like that, Beverly?
Well, in the case of the person who don't have the money, they can, you know, help someone other ways than, you know, giving, because some people don't have it, especially now with COVID. Some people don't have money. They can maybe help somebody in another way. You know, someone maybe who need a ride if they have a car, or someone who needs help just watching the baby while they go to the store or something. There's a lot of ways to share love. It doesn't have to always be monetary.
Okay. All right. And I agree with you certainly there. But if you got a water bill that's impending, that you've got to pay this water bill, I mean, you use the water. And you had a leak that you didn't even realize you had.
You have to pay your bill. You have to pay your bill. There is going to be another week, but I'm sure there's going to be a way to squeeze $5 instead of $2. and put it away that
way. Okay, but what I'm trying to do is find a way to keep my spirit of love, knowing that I got to pay this unusually high water bill. I got to pay that bill if I want to keep my water on. It's going to
be that week when the water bill is due, you said, you know, I'm sorry. I wish I had it this week, but I won't have it because I have to pay. I must pay my water bill because the spirit of love is not always giving. It's a hug.
Right, but you certainly
It's a blanket.
Yeah, I may be missing a point here because I'm speaking to a specific point here. Beverly, we're going to actually stand by. Monica, let me bring you in, and then Pastor Howell, I want to bring you in as well. Monica, I got to pay that water bill, and I want to keep my spirit of love, but I don't have enough money to pay that water bill, so it's my spirit of love that I would have normally had next week, but I see now that that water bill is due, and it's unusually high. And so now my question becomes, okay, because that's high, that's gotten on my nerves, so I don't feel that spirit of love anymore. It's already gone out the window because I don't have enough to pay my water bill. So what happens in a case like that? I want the spirit of love, but, you know, I know it's not all about money, but I got to pay this bill because nobody else is paying that bill. Monica, your thoughts.
Like it said that love is not a feeling, it's a principle. You know you have this bill, so you have to make plans. You have to make plans to pay this bill. And listen, like one of my favorite scriptures that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. You cannot allow those circumstances to steal your joy. You cannot. You know, it is true that you have to your mind and speak with authority. You know, each morning, yesterday on the program, somebody said when you wake up each morning, you wake up. And that's what I do. I wake up and I tell myself, today is going to be a better day. Because I'm planning, I'm preparing in my mind that those things may happen that I really did not want to happen, I did not plan to happen, I'm going to be of a good spirit. I'm going to be of good cheer. And I'm going to trust, plan, and make everything possible for me to do what I have to do so that I can be cheerful and happy and give love not only on Christmas Day, but every day.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. I know I must be missing something. Maybe I'm just not presenting this properly. Pastor Howard, and then, ladies, we're going to bring you in. Pastor Howard, you got two kids at home, little kids. You're a single parent. This is the scenario. You got to pay that water bill, but you've been trying to maintain the spirit of Christmas, and now it's like I didn't expect the water bill to be that high. I've got $30 to go towards my water bill, and the water bill normally runs about $45 a month, but now it's $80 because there was a leak that I didn't really pay attention to. So how do I keep that spirit of Christmas? I mean, I got to pay this bill. What do I do, Pastor Howard?
Or, Dr. Walker, you pay your bill. God give us a spirit of wisdom. You pay your bill because if you don't pay your bill, you're out with water. And how does God get the glory out of that? We got to understand. We have to do what is right. The Bible tells us what? Render to Caesar what is Caesar? Caesar the water bill. Say, I'm due. If you make a call and you call the water company and you say, can I get an extension? Okay.
Right.
If they give you an extension, but then you got to worry and scrap up for next month or prepare yourself to try to get the money for next month because you got two bills instead of one now. So, you know, we do what is right, and then you speak to the two children. You know, you speak to your children. It won't happen before Christmas, but it will happen after Christmas, you know. So
okay.
The giving doesn't stop.
Right. We've got a lot of noise in someone's background. I mean, if somebody else is, if something is going on in your background, it's coming right in here and it's certainly interfering with our wiring. So if you all would just be mindful of that, please, we'd appreciate that. Pastor Howard, we thank you for I like what you said, and that's what I'm trying to get the people to see tonight. We're looking for strategies that will not affect your spirit of love after Christmas, and there's just strategies that you can use. Like what she said was, you call the water company, ask for an extension. You pay a portion of that bill, and yet, as she said, it may cause a little worration on your part because even if you paid a portion of it or you got that extension, you still got to pay that bill in its entirety at some point. But then it buys you time, and your faith, you never know what can take place between now and the extended period that you've received. Lady C, let's bring you in. I want you to talk to that as well. The same scenario with the two kids. Now you've asked for an extension. What do you do?
I'm going to tell you now, you're speaking my life, okay? You're speaking my life. I am that single mom with two kids, you know?
Okay.
When I first moved to Florida, it was hard on my kids and I, you know? You know, although I had all these bills that I had to pay, I had a job, I was able to pay them. It was just the fact of I didn't make as much money as I do now. And it was, you know, the first Christmas, second Christmas, it was like, let me talk to my kids, like, you know, Pastor Howard say, you talk to your children. You let them know, guess what? Mommy don't have the money, but I am going to do my best to get you everything you need. Some of them gifts might have to come from the Dollar General store, Family Dollar, or the clearance section of Walmart. But one thing I never did was skip out on a bill or get an extension, because those bills have to come first. If I ended up getting an extension or pay a portion part, if I'm not making the money to pay that whole thing, guess what? I'm not going to be able to pay that extra part next month, you know?
Uh-huh.
So therefore, it was like, no, I'm going to take care of these bills, but you're not going to have a glorious Christmas like you've been doing in the previous years. I'm going to make do with what I have, but I'm going to make sure we have a good Christmas.
And see, and I think that, and you know, it's just sometimes when you think I'm speaking to your life, it's speaking a lot of people, millions upon millions of people's lives out there. And in fact, I was even speaking my life, because as a single parent with four kids, I didn't have enough to pay the light bill. I remember one time I didn't have enough to pay the light bill. I did not have enough to pay. I think I was maybe $37 short of paying that light bill. And it's like I had already, as fast as I was here, talk about an extension. I was an expert on these extensions because I use it for the water bill, the light bill, the phone bill. I was always it's like they knew my name firsthand. You know, when I'm calling, because okay, here he goes again. He needs an extension. But somehow or other, when I got that extension, I managed to be able to pay it. And a matter of fact, and you know what? And God, you know, I like to be real on the show. I don't like it where I don't like to come across as if I'm faking something and people say, well, you know, he's successful now and he's probably always been successful. That's not the case. That's not the case. My lights were turned off one time in my life as an adult single parent. And it just so happened that I didn't remember to pay the bill. And let me tell you how God works when you have faith. When you have faith. I didn't even have enough money to pay this. This was another time, though, now. Okay, the first time when I was short the $37, I had to go to an organization that told me to bring the light bill, and they made a check out to the light bill. And I was like, they asked no questions other than bring the bill that's past due, and I did. I was so grateful for that. And, you know, and it's like that saved me, and they never asked me to pay them back. Now, another time when I didn't have enough money to pay the light bill, I prayed again to God. This time my lights were turned off. They were turned off. And it's like, God, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get these lights turned on. And this is a true story, you all. And I'm, you know, I'm telling you this because, you know, you may see things peaches and cream now, but it wasn't always this way. And that's why sometimes when we have it rough, We can appreciate the goodness of God because we know who blessed us and brought us through it. Well, this time, the manager of Florida Power and Light, one of their managers came out, you know, to find out he was doing some service on the road. And just so happens, he stopped out there. And at this time, I mean, he had a truck that he came personally to find out about my life. He had turned, they were turned off. And somehow or another, he ended up talking to me, coming to my house. And guess what? Turns out I knew the guy. He went to church school with my older brother. He's like, what? You're a walker? I'm like, yes. And then it dawned on me, and it dawned on him. He went to school with one of my older brothers. He says, man, your lights are off. He said, I say, you're telling me. And so turns out, he says, look, don't worry about it. I'm going to turn your lights right back on right now. I'm the manager. I can turn your lights on, and you pay the bill when you can. I'll put it in the system. Let me tell you something. Pastor Howard, I got to bring you in before I bring Lady C back in. Isn't God good?
Yes, that was the favor of the Lord. He was in the right place at the right time to be a blessing to a believer, a child of God, you know. And that's
wow.
How God works. We may find ourselves in these situations, maybe, you know, we spent a little bit more money than we intended to, or we bought something. It could be that we bought grocery that we needed and didn't have
right.
it. But with that young man being in the right place, see, God, no, if we're just found doing what's right, see, the most important thing is you were doing the best you can do. You could
That's
do.
That's all I was doing, the best I could
you
do.
You stood when you could do nothing else. You just stood on faith. And you didn't have
mm-hmm.
to do any extra work. The Lord brought a manager on your
That's
street.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the connection was made, you know. And that's what we keep in mind. But we don't test God in that way by spending the money for everything else on in November, knowing
right.
that your children need, knowing that your children need where you want to be. Show love to your children in December for Christmas.
Right.
You make sure
right.
you do what's right. And then as long as you do what's right, God got you on the backside.
He's got you.
He got you.
And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. And I know that at that time, just like you're saying, I stood because it wasn't that I spent any money extra. I just didn't have any more money. I had no more
and
money to
right.
do anything. And that's exactly what happened. Lady C, let me bring you in. You know, so as you hear my life, I'm speaking my life out there, how it was. And that's why I'm so adamant about giving back now that God has blessed me. And that's what we do through these subscriptions that people, when they subscribe, even the smallest amount when you're subscribing, you're already getting something back in the form of our stories and our food for thought. That it's costly on its own. But I made a pact with God that no matter who subscribes, the smallest amount they subscribe, we're going to give back. A percentage of that is going back. So, Lady C, when you hear the story how I had no more money, but I wanted to keep that spirit of love in my home and in my heart, you know, and God saw fit, as Pastor Howard said, to send a man right to my door, a manager of all people. Have you ever had such an experience?
Yes, I've had an experience. I mean, I had an experience not so long ago. That's why I say you were speaking into my life. I know, like, last month, I ended up saying, it's not the same similar situation. I didn't have nothing cut off. I received a phone call when I was at work from my water company telling me that, hey, I really need to give them a call. So when I called the guy, I wanted to know what was going on because it's rather odd for me to receive a call from my utilities company. And the guy told
right.
me I have a leak somewhere in my house because my water bill shows $48 a month, between $45 to $48 a month consecutive since I've been living where I'm at. But this time it was $216, and it startled him. Yes.
Whoa.
It startled me too. So, you know, I had to rush home to see what was going on. So I was on my way coming home. I called my landlord. I said, this is what's going on. And they were like, oh, okay, well, you just, you know, you have to, you know, in order for us to sit there and take it off your rent, you got to show us proof. You know, we need three to 4 months back statements. I didn't know how I was going to get those statements. So as I'm talking on the phone with the guy says, you know, is there anything you need? I say, yes. How do I get statements sent to my house? Because online, it doesn't show how I could get previous statements. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to mail it out to you. And I got it in the mail and was able to get that taken off my rent. So God worked. God tests you. Sometimes he tests your faith, you know, to see if you're going to freak out or if you're going to trust him. On my way going home, I was already telling myself this is going to be taken care of because I already have the money in my account. I'm not even going to worry about it. I know God's in control. Right. Because sometimes we freak out over things that God already got taken care of.
This is incredible. And, you know, with you saying that, Beverly, we're going to bring you in just a second. And I want to say this to you all. God has put it in my spirit this week that we're going to do a I'm going to co-author, and I'm putting it out there the first time tonight on the radio. I don't think I did it at all yet because it just came to me this week. And I don't think I did it on last night's show. But it's come into my spirit that I want to co-author with 9 other individuals out there. We'll do a book of testimonies. It's going to be like my chapter, my story, book of testimonies. And if you, many of us have stories out there. I'm already the author of a couple of books. But I want to be able to help as many people as I possibly can out there to give them opportunity to tell their story, a testimony, because when I hear testimonies, I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that that's what blesses other people. When they see that people made it through, just like Lady C just talked about her water bill, I mean, to be able to take it off of the rent, and the man mailed out the 3-month statement, the 3 previous statements. He mailed that out so that she could get it, and it was taken off of her rent. That is incredible. And so rather than somebody having to write 10 or 20 chapters to a book, all I ask that you write, if you want to co-author with me, I will even produce the book. It won't cost you anything. If you just got a story, that's where I want to be able to give back. So I want you all to just think about that, because this also helps with us being able to receive revenue to give back into the community. A percentage of that goes back into the community. So rather than saying, well, I want to write a book one day, all you need is one chapter, 15 to 20 pages, one chapter. And then I will do the rest. We will collaborate, and everything will be legal, and you will be helping somebody else out there through your testimony. So I'm putting it out there, and if you're interested in that, you must let me know at some point in time. Because I'm pretty certain by before the end of January, I'm going to have the 10 people or the 9 other people that we're looking for to just do one chapter, because I want to conclude that book before the end of 2021. All right, let me move on and bring Beverly in. Beverly, let me just ask you now. We're talking about the spirit of love. So we've looked at some strategies on how to keep the spirit of love, especially if you don't have enough. So our listening audience that may be running behind, they probably have learned that they can call a phone company, they can call a water company, they can ask for an extension, you know. But with those extensions, you got to be able to keep your word to make those payments. Because I've been there, I'm pretty good on that. Now I'm a certified debt specialist, so I've learned these things. And so now, Beverly, let me ask you, what, if anything, can you add to it that, you know, we can keep that spirit of love after Christmas? When things, let me give another scenario, for example. Say that you've got this child that's not doing well in school, in middle school, you know, and the scenarios don't necessarily mean that it happens in your life, but if you can help us resolve an issue, it may help somebody else out there whose circumstances fit in that condition or situation. So, Beverly, I ask, you got 2 or 3 kids at home. One of them is just not doing, is defiant, and they happen to be in middle school. You know, that hormonal stage is acting up. 13 years old, constantly getting in trouble. And it's like you're doing everything that you can in your power to keep the spirit of positiveness in your home, the spirit of love, the spirit of Christianity. What do you do in a case like that? What can you tell a parent how to deal with this defiant child? You're a single parent, of course.
Well, first of all, you know, when the kids are defiant, I've been past that stage now for about 6-7 years. But when the kids are defiant, the best thing to do is figure out a way to talk to them. Because when kids get like that, something is bothering them. And most times, they might not say anything to the parent. But if one day just sit down and say, you know, I'm tired. I'm just tired. You tell me, what can I do to help you? What's bothering you? I'm not sure if the child is going to answer, but 10 chances to one, they'll look in your eye. And after a while, start saying something. It happened with me and my son when he was going through. And, you know, I just couldn't fight anymore. I just say, you know what? I'm going to give up, and I'm not going to fight with you anymore. When you're ready, you tell me what I can do to help you. And one day he just came and said, Mom, I want to talk. And that was it. But with calling the light company or the phone company and trying to make some deal about your bill, trust me, you're going to pay a late fee as well. So, you know, if you're a parent or a mother or a father who doesn't have it, they're going to tack that money on you, and they might put it over till the next month, but you're going to have to pay it. So it's best if you have that money and you can pay it off and still keep that spirit of Christmas going. It can happen.
Okay, Lady C, we're going to stand by Beverly. Thank you for that. Lady C, same scenario. You got these three kids, and one is just defiant, constantly getting in trouble. And you're trying not to let that affect your spirit, but, I mean, you know, when you got a defiant child, and I mean, this doesn't necessarily apply to you, as I said, but when you got that defiant child, I mean, after a while, they're going to get on your nerves now. And I know that Beverly say, you know, it's a matter of sometimes you have to talk to them because there's something underlying going on. But, shoot, I'm about to pull out the belt. I'm sorry, you know, but I'm about to pull out this belt. Monica, we're going to bring you in just a second. Lady C, come on, talk to me here. I'm like, you getting me coming off my job every now and then?
If it's a school, for one, I am a hands-on mom. I am that type of mom that communicates with my children's teachers and things like that. But my children, they know that we have an open communication policy in our home. You tell me everything that's going on. Because if there's something happening in school, I need to know how to handle it when I call your teacher. Because if my child's grades are slipping or is getting in trouble, I'm scheduling it. I'm the parent that will schedule a meeting before the teacher reaches out to me. You know? Because when I go to the teacher, I'm going to have my child there, and we all are. I'm going to have the administration, everybody at the table, because I need to talk openly. Because I don't want no one trying to hide things. So with my child, I'm just going to talk to them first. I'm going to keep that line of communication open first with them before I, you know, contact the school. So it's important to me to just talk to your children, you know, and be calm with them, you know.
Right. But so for those parents who are out there that may not, I mean, you come to find out that it's not the school. It's, you know, change them to 3 or 4 different teachers. And so at some point, is it the teachers or is it my child now? I mean, so, Lady C, come on now. I mean, this may not be for you, but if there's that parent out there that's saying, hey, I'm living that life now, what do you say, Lady C?
Well, it's the
you done talked
the,
until you
child.
Can't talk
it's,
no more.
It's the child. I have a niece. When she was in high school, she decides to want to bring collaborate with her friends and bring what they call weed brownies to school, and she got herself suspended with an officer in the building, you know?
Right.
You know, I knew the girl was getting out of hand, but as a parent, you got to talk to your children, because a lot of times when your child is being defiant, acting up, that's based on peer pressure. Based on peer pressure, trying to fit in. A lot of kids try to fit in with other students that they don't even need to fit in for. But just to make them feel good, they're like, I want to have this friend just to, you know, to be my friend. So it's important for parents to talk to their child. and encourage their child, hey, it's okay to walk alone. Like, I encourage my kids every day. It's okay to walk alone. If your friend starts picking on you in front of other friends, okay, it's time to go the other way. You can talk to her, say hello, but trying to hang with her the whole time, no. You got to learn how to walk alone, you know. So keep the line of communication open with your child. So therefore, when things happen, they won't be afraid to talk to you. Because my children, when stuff happened to them in school, they come home and they tell me straight up, and I give them my honest advice. Baby, she's not a good friend. Or baby, you know what I'm saying? Don't pick, you know, don't pick a fight. Learn how to walk away. Go to a teacher, you know?
Right.
That's what I do.
Excellent, excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Tonight, if you're just joining us tonight, is how to keep the spirit of love after Christmas. How to keep the spirit of love after Christmas. And then, Monica, we're going to bring you in at now, but later I want you to find out if love is a spirit. Is love a spirit? And I'm going to ask you that moment in just a few minutes. But right now, Monica, the spirit of love, and I believe that God has given us the spirit of love because he didn't give us the spirit of fear. So when we're talking about this here now, and I'm going to bring another scenario also later, but Monica, what's coming to your mind now? Any scriptures on you know, if you got a defiant child and you're trying to keep your spirit, like, you know what, God, I've been praying to you forever. This child is on my last nerve, my last nerve. I don't know what I'm going to, and the reason why I know a lot of these scenarios, I've dealt with the school system for 36 years, okay? And I've taught in every area from elementary, kindergarten to college level. And I've dealt with, for the last 6 years of my career, I dealt with defiant students I was in charge of an outdoor suspension program. And let me tell you something, I've seen probably, if not all of it, most of it. So when ladies, she talk about the weed brownies and so forth and so on, I've seen the weed gummies. And so it's out there, everything from gangsters and all of this here. And now we got big problems with 13- and 14-year-olds, gangsters. Let me go, and even younger than that. But, Monica, let me bring you in. Any scripture on this defiant child? I know the Bible tells us train up a child in the way that they should go, but sometimes it's a struggle to get there. So what do you do? Because you're trying to keep your spirit of love, you know, all year long. Talk to me, Monica.
Dr. Walker, you are asking the right person the right question, because it was yesterday. I have a 13-year-old, which I had to tell him what the scripture said about foolishness is burning in the heart of a child, and it's only the rod of correction that can take it out. And if he's going to not listen to me, then I will have to do what God tells me to do. You know what?
Spare not the rod.
I don't know. Y'all know sorry, right? I've been in America for like 25 years, and I've never had fresh sorry. And I went an hour and a half to pick up some sorry. I had to pick it. Things that I've never did back home. Pick it. I drew it, and for 2 days I was just getting ready to sweeten my sorrel. And my son, you know, we went out and we came back, and the whole pot of sorrel just peeled, and everything spilled on the ground. I mean, I never got a sip. And believe you me, that was a proof to me that God answers prayer. Because I never got mad. I mean, I ended up, you know, I said I wouldn't go to bed without, I cried about it, and I surely did. But I never got mad, and I said, oh, Lord, you know, God answers prayer, because I spoke to him calmly, and I tell him that's what happened when we don't listen. Things will happen that will break our heart. And you know, even though my heart was so broken because I went through a lot to get this sorrel prepared and wasn't able to drink a sip out of it, but he learned a lesson. And I'm telling you, between that time and now, I have seen a major change that I'm like, if it took spilled sorrel to have this experience, then I'm enjoying it. So the scripture said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof. That was another scripture I used to him, that if we don't listen, we are going to hurt in ways that will, you know, make us regret being disobedient.
Right, right. And I'm familiar with sorrow. I've had it several times. Some of my friends who are from Trinidad first introduced it to me. And it has a little sweet flavor to it, and they have to prepare it. And then some friends who are also Jamaican also gave me some sorrow. And it was very, very good. For those of you all that don't know, it's a how do you spell it? S-O-R-E-I-L? Monica?
S-O-R-E-I-L.
S-O-R-I-E-L. I don't know how to spell it, but I know that I'm familiar with it.
S-O-R-R-E-L.
S-O-R-R-E-L. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Very good. All right. So let me move on. And Pastor Howard, let's bring you in now. And I've got a... You know, we're saying a lot of stuff to keep the spirit of love in us after Christmas. And, I mean, if I had gone through all of that trouble that Monica went through to get this drink and she didn't get a sip of it and it wasted, and that child wasted because of his defiance, then I can't say that, you know, I learned the lesson, because this child spilled my stuff. It wasn't like he spilled something that would benefit him. He spilled my stuff from his defiance. And the rod of correction was likely to follow that. Pastor Howard, I mean, is there another way? I mean, after I get the rod out, then and take care of that, now the spirit of love still dwells in me, because this happened to be tough love. So are there times when tough love is needed to maintain our spirit of love after Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah. Pastor Howard?
Yeah, tough love is needed, but it was due at that time. It was due at that time, I believe. I mean, wherever you mess up, that's where the correction is needed, and then that way we have a teachable moment. And when we have these teachable moments.
You done messed up my stuff. You ain't messed up your stuff.
Thank
you. Know,
you.
Now I'm about to, boy, I'm about to tear you up.
So let me keep from sinning so I don't have to pray as hard later. Let me tell
right.
you where you went wrong.
It wasn't like you messed up your. Yeah, it wasn't like you messed up your video game by mistake, because
yeah.
you're not gonna mess up your
yeah.
stuff. You messed up my
yeah,
stuff. Lady C, let me bring you in. The rod of correction. Oh, help me, Father, please. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school. Lady C, I mean, not all of our children we have to, you know, use that rod of correction on. But my goodness, you got this 13-year-old and you being defiant like that? Boy, you better, oh, my goodness, help me. Let me just.
Well, I'm not the parent to spare the rod myself. You know, my kids cut up, I'm right there letting them know. You know, I am one of them parents. I give one look, they already know not to try it. So,
okay.
You know,
No, go ahead. I'm laughing because I'm thinking, I'm not the only one. I mean, I'm glad Pastor Howard, you know, can feel me over here, because I'm like, you know, is this a younger generation thing where they're like, let me sit down and give my child time out. Time out my foot. I'm sorry, Lady Love.
You know,
I mean, Lady C, go ahead.
Time out does work.
Boy, I'm going to time you
out. Does work. It does work
yeah.
at a younger age. And that child is very young, like 1, 2 years old. Yeah, let's put the child in time out. But when that child is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, no, timeout is not going to work, because they're going to look at you like you're crazy and they're going to start getting defiant. To me, I feel like as a parent, yes, we're going to have an open communication, but if you cross me, I'm going to let you have it, you know?
Okay.
I'm going to let you have it,
there
and
you
I'm going to tell you how I feel.
There you go.
As a parent,
then,
you got to make your child afraid of you and let your child know, listen, I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to correct you out of love, but you're not going to try me.
Okay. Okay, even if you're beating them while you're reciting the scripture, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Boy, look at here. I know about them days. I know about them days. My grandmother would be on my legs. Oh, my goodness. I know that script. I knew that scripture word for word after you get it pounded on you enough. Okay? And thank God for my grandmother and my mother, though, but especially my grandmother, Greg. You talk about fear. Oh, my goodness. And every mother has a look. Lady C, you talked about you give them that look. Every woman, especially, you know, even the men, yeah, we have a look. But I think the women are the ones who started that look. Pastor Howard, let me bring you in. Do you think women started that look? Because all my mama had, she had 9 kids, and my mama was skinny and tiny. I mean, you could run away from her, and she ain't going to catch you. But she just gave you that look, and it's like, man, you just feel like you're going to die.
My mom had that look, and she was skinny. But
right.
You wouldn't dare run from her. You would not dare run from her. I mean, if she had a look like that, I mean, we would go to people's house before we get in there. She would say, "You don't look at nothing."
And you don't touch nothing.
Anything. You don't touch nothing. You.
I know that. That's right.
And that was it. So I thank God for those mothers. I thank
Amen.
God for those mothers. Did you, as you got older, when you went to people's house, what happened? You didn't look around later on when you left and they called you and you say, "Well, you remember the thing on the counter? Girl, I ain't seen nothing."
Nothing.
I didn't look at nothing but your face.
Exactly. I remember those days. I certainly do.
So,
and you definitely don't touch anything, because if you break something, oh, my goodness, you'd be better off if God took you out right then if you break something.
Right then, just like if you had that Enoch experience right then. Right then.
right, exactly.
You would have thought that was the best thing ever, just have that Enoch experience right then. I mean, but thank God for mothers like that, because
absolutely.
We turned out to be better children. We turned out to be better parents. We turned out to be better adults. But now, where did that teaching leave off? See, somewhere it was a skip. So we lost that. That look.
We did.
If my mom looked at us, we knew. I don't care if you lost your mind on the cereal aisle. Oh, mom, get me this. She looked like, didn't we just have the talk? Everything, all the words were in the talk, in that look.
That's right, in that look.
She didn't have a problem with us no more.
Right.
I mean, because you knew if she did, what would happen at the end? She would say, "When I get home," she would just walk up to you, "When I get home."
That's it.
When
that was it.
Wait till I get you home.
Boy, and if it took 5 hours to get home. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I thank God for that, but we lost that. Let me back up. Many lost that weight.
Right.
And by losing that weight, we're losing more of our young people.
We sure
because
are.
Because
we sure are.
We no longer have family dinners where we sit down and discuss the day and what's going on. Things have changed. But parenting skills did not change. And that's where we fall short. So when we fall short, we get generational opposite of what we want. You know, we get that.
We get the damaging of our youth. We get the damaging of parenthood. We see the where we fell short. But it's never too late. Because what we are missing is the extension of love.
Mm-hmm.
We are missing the extension of love. If we just continue,
okay.
If we forgot everything else, if we just continue loving one another as ourselves,
right.
We will.
And that's
be
what we're looking for tonight. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's,
so that's where we have to pick up the baton. Yeah, we must pick up the baton right now. Just ask God for forgiveness. Pick up the baton and pass it. Right now. That's it. Only if number 45 will pick up the baton right now and pass.
Right. The world will be a much better place.
A little quicker.
Love.
Absolutely.
Right. Because love is
going to
make the world
around. I'm sorry. It goes so long. So
that's
far.
Right. Pastor Howard, we appreciate that. Monica, let me bring you in because I want to ask, is love a spirit? Is love a spirit?
Dr. Walker?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah. What is laid on my heart is the text in Matthew 28, verse 11. That says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know God is a spirit, and he says that they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So because God is love, then definitely I believe love is a spirit.
All right. That's a very good way of putting that. That's a very good way of putting that. We're still getting a lot of noise from someone's background. I'm not sure what's going on, but noise in the background. Let me go ahead and bring in Beverly. Let me just ask you, Beverly, a scenario. And I want to bring this one out. If you all want to speak to the issue, press 1 as well. Beverly, I want to bring this out to you because we're talking about keeping the spirit of love after Christmas, keeping this. And, you know, we talk about if we can just be doing things for people all year round. But then sometimes, I mean, there's at least 6 or 7 things that I've come to learn that can affect your spirit. 6 or 7 things that can affect your spirit if we allow it. And we talk about how things are going to happen to us, but it's not necessarily what happens to us, but it's our reaction to those things that happen to us. Beverly, let me bring you in with a scenario, and this is going to also be addressed to Lady C. We have to look at this now, not necessarily that it applies to our lives, but I want you to just be objective in your approach to this. Think seriously about what I'm about to say in this scenario. You take, because I've been faced with all of these scenarios that I bring out. These have been life based on true events. A fifth grade kid comes to you, Beverly, and he's been suspended. And he says to you, Miss Beverly, you're his teacher. You find out that he's suspended. You're in charge of the suspension. This boy has got a record. I mean, he's been to 3 different schools. He's got a record now of suspensions, of over 27 suspensions by the time now he's in fifth grade. And so now you're expecting to talk to him. And I heard, Lady C, this is going to be for you as well. You're expecting that you can talk to him to make a difference. And one day he says to you, and let's call him Jose. Let's call him Jose. Jose says to you, Miss Beverly, Miss Lady C, he says to you, both of you all, you know, differently. He says, how do you expect me to be good when all I know is in my environment, the older boys, this boy is only 11. He said the older boys are stealing, they're taking, snatching women's purses. And he says, if I don't join the gang, they say they're going to beat my high school sister up and they're going to rob my mom. So that peer pressure that Miss C, that you, Lady C, that you talk about, you know, he says, what am I supposed to do? And they say, if you tell someone, see, this is how gangs go. If you tell someone, we might kill your family. Now, what is that little 11-year-old thinking his mindset now? Try to think outside the box, but objectively, what is he supposed to do? They want him to join that gang, and they got rules for his initiation. So now you want him to be good, but he says everything around me is bad. So, Ms. Beverly, let's start with you first. What do you say, you know, to keep the spirit of love in that boy? 27 suspensions.
You put me on the spot, Dr. Walker.
Well,
because
but this is
I've
a
never
true
been
event.
In a situation like that, and I've never thought of a situation like that. But if
yeah.
I was to be a teacher and that situation comes to me.
And you're in a public school, so you can't pray. You
this.
Can't pray there in the public school. You can't pray in the public school.
No, no, I wasn't.
So you're in a public
pray.
School.
I know I couldn't pray, but what I would do, I would say to him, Jose, I don't know. This
you would
is
do
a
what?
Sticky situation. This, I would say to him, this is a sticky situation, and I know, you know, the dilemma that you are facing because these people are evil, but I still would like you to just not go their way, and I'm going to do the best I can to figure this out. And I would try my best to find a police officer I could talk to and see what's the best advice I could give this child. You know, because
now
I don't know
you
what
just
to
put
say
his life
him.
In jeopardy. You just put his life in jeopardy.
I'm not going to tell him that I'm going to do that. That I would have to go find someone to talk to myself.
But I just asked
because
you, what would you tell the child?
But I would tell the child.
What would you tell him?
I wouldn't know like what to tell him. I've never been in this situation before.
Okay, well, see, this is what our kids are faced with out here. I'm telling you now,
mm-hmm.
this is what they're faced with. And nobody seems to have answers for them. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, let me go to Lady C just for a second. Because it is a sticky situation. Because remember, the threat of the gang is if you tell someone, we might kill your mom. And we're gonna do some harmful things to your high school sister. Because these are the older boys indoctrinating the younger boys. Lady C, help me out here. This is what I've had to deal with.
You know, I never was faced with that situation like that, but I am faced with, you know, a lot of people coming to me in regards to, you know, certain transactions to get their backgrounds and their, you know, certain things corrected. You know, but a school system, I don't really deal with many bad kids like that. But me personally, I wouldn't know what to say to the child, but I know I would say this. I would tell him that, you know, what you're going through now does not define your future, you know. Change starts with you. Even though you see your brothers, your friends, all part of the gangs, you don't have to associate yourself with it, you know. But I understand a little boy is scared. I couldn't involve
yeah.
the police
yeah.
because I know if I involve the police, that can put his life in danger. But I will.
Right.
Since I'm good with the sheriff's department in here, I'm going to talk to a close friend of mine that is in that system to try to get help for this child.
Right.
I'm not going to let the
right.
child know, just like the last lady said, I think it was Beverly, stated, you know, she would get the child help. I'm on the long lines of her. I'm going to get that child help. I'm going to figure out how to get that child help in the family. If we can even try to raise enough money silently to put this to switch this child's school to another area. For an example, let me tell you guys something about here in Florida. We have this program called the Hope Scholarship Program, okay? The Hope Scholarship Program is catered to kids that are being bullied, you know? So if that family feels like that child is unsafe in that school that that child's going to, that parent can apply for this program. And if that program accepts this child, that program, the state will give that child, or that program will give that child $125,000 to go to any private school in the area. So, yes, I would get the school involved, and I would get a trusted friend that's an officer involved to find out what local programs are there to help this family out. That's what I'll do.
I think that is absolutely brilliant. But now, Lady C, the question I got to answer, Pastor Howard, I'm going to bring you in a moment, is we're talking about keeping the spirit of love after Christmas, and you wonder if the mother gets wind of this, you know, I mean, certainly she is concerned about her child. But now, the fact of the matter is, the Hope Scholarship Program may send them to any school, but it may not just be the school. What about the community, Lady C, that he still lives in that community? He still lives in that community, and the fact of the matter is, because he's still in that community, they want you to join that gang. If you don't join us, we're going to hurt your family. Come on, Lady C. You're going to get money. I mean,
And that's what I'm saying. I'm going to get everybody together, see if we can get some type of program to get that family out of that neighborhood. Not necessarily
I didn't hear you say that part. Okay,
yes.
That's probably the solution, getting them out of that neighborhood, because these are real events. That's why I just spoke with a police officer this week, and he shared with me, he says, listen, we've got some serious problems. You know, the 9 to 11-year-olds are joining the gangs now. They're joining the gangs, the 9 to 11-year-olds, and that means these are babies. Pastor Howard, let me bring you in. I mean, you know, we talk about the spirit of love. Why aren't we out there trying to make a difference where we're standing up in the communities with, you know, with the powers that be, you know, trying to make a difference in the communities, communities like this here where Jose lives?
Well,
Pastor?
Dr. Mm-hmm. Walker, love is missing out of the world, and it starts with one person. If one person can show love and it catch to another person, it can infect two more other people and so forth and so on. It just multiplies. It doesn't add. It multiplies. So love is missing. And without love, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have gangs forming. You're going to have parents and children living in turmoil or disarray, or, you know, living by the sword of the enemy saying you got to join this gang. But if we begin, I'm talking about believers, those that confess Christ, introduce love. A lot of us don't understand. They're not turning the other cheek. I'm saying them because I know I'm turning the other cheek, not to try to take some kind of credit, but no, just to set the example. You turn the other cheek. It hurts. But when you do it as a sacrifice, we wasn't called to be set aside and set apart so that we can be protected in a way that we don't have to suffer. We were called for a life of suffering. We were called to a life of suffering because of what we believe. We believe in doing right. We believe in practicing right. We believe that we love our brother as we love ourselves. So when you do that, your life is a sacrifice for others to gain some knowledge, to gain some wisdom, to understand what was it for. Look at John Lewis. After his death, then people will understand the importance of voting. Preached that all his life. So
that's
the same thing. It's where what we believe and how much we fight for that belief.
Right.
That's
how we're
going to
ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. That's how we're going to ask you to stand by also. Some very valid points there. Lady C, I got to bring you back in on something also, though, because, I mean, these are based on true events, and now And I'm not saying that we all have the answers, but we do know that something needs to be done. And I know that love is important, and we got to stand out there. But now, what happens, Lady C, in your opinion, when those of us who are trying to make a change with love in the communities, and you got a 14-year-old who's not accustomed to ever being told by his mother, or the father's not even there, but his mother's never even told him that she loves him, you know, but instead, he's also, you know, she buys his love, maybe that's how she says she loves him, but what's happening is he's competing. You know, we're competing, not necessarily him, but those who are out here trying to spread love are competing with games, G-A-M-E-S, not the games this time, but the games that they play and the music that they listen to. And I'm not knocking any type of music, but if you got music that talks about calling the women the B word or the H word or killer N word, you know, or killer cop, I mean, and then you got these games. When I was dealing with the young people, I knew these games. It was like Mortal Kombat, but they had some other games that I, ladies, you may know some of these games that they play. It was a game that I thought was an innocent game. But it wasn't Mortal Kombat. It's something else.
Well, I'm a gamer. I got to admit, I am a fan of games. I'm on games.
Right.
I'm a Call of Duty girl. But as far as, you know.
Call of Duty. Is that a lot of killing in that Call of Duty?
It's a lot of killing. It's a lot of killing. It's not gang related, though.
Right, but there's a lot of killing in that.
Yeah, it's a lot of killing in it, and it's for adults, not for children.
Okay.
As far as the child, I would say, you know, you just be the one. I mean, you could spread love without telling the child you love them. That child may not be able to hear his parents say you love them, you know, but you can spread that love. I mean, by not even saying it yourself, meaning by being open, being there, having an open door policy with that child. So, say if that child comes home and he's facing something, and you are that trusted person, you be that child's listening ear, and you be that child encouragement, meaning you constantly, you know, speak into his ear, speak life into existence to him, into his future, letting him know you will overcome this. You know, helping him to believe he would get out of this, he will overcome him. This is not his life. You know, because the things you say to a child, it sticks with them. I have heard plenty of people say, you know, my third grade teacher, they said this to me, they said that to me, and these people are not like in their 20s and their 30s. It's because that teacher took the time out to speak to them, to speak to their situation. So, just to me, I would just have to have an open door policy if I'm that trusted person, who that person confide in.
I want to say, in addition to that, I think it's vitally important that a parent, this is just my opinion, and of course we bring our experiences to the table. I think it's vitally important that a parent not only shows their love, but I think it's important to tell the child that they love them. And like my mother with 9 children, she hugged us every day. She told us she loved us every day. She kissed us every day. I mean, even as adults, she did that. And that had such an impact on my life and all of our lives. And do you know that my father, not once in his life and not once in my life, ever told me he loved me, not once. And that also had a negative impact. But thank God for my mom, the fact that she told me she loved me, that made all the difference in the world. I talked to a lady this week, and I do a lot of consulting and coaching with people. And she was saying how her daughter called her father because she had been accepted into a university, and the father and mother divorced, and the father lived in a different home. And the mother was still struggling with this child and another child. But the young lady had done so well that she wanted her father to hear the good news that she had been accepted now into a university, full scholarship. And instead of the father embracing her and telling her how much he loved her, he made her, when by the time the child got off the phone, she was in tears. And the mother had to call the father, and he made a promise, okay, I'll tell her I love her. But he called himself, he was so hard on the girl. She didn't go into details in what he said to her, but it hurt the girl's spirit so that she felt she was sorry that she had accepted a scholarship to that university, a full scholarship, when he's not going to pay it anyway. The father wasn't going to pay it. But and the mother sensed what the daughter needed from her father, and all she needed was the words from him that he loves her and he's proud of her, but he gave her completely the opposite. So I think that these words are very important, and you all talked tonight about spreading love, Pastor Howard. Lady C, you talked about talking to your children. And you know what? It's the way we talk with them. You know, to keep that spirit of love after Christmas is going to take all of our part. And when we gave the scenario about the fifth grade student, the 11-year-old boy, you're right. We got to find a way to get into these communities and make a difference. Beverly, let me bring you in. Any thoughts that you want to say, because we're about to close the show out. Lady C, we'll give you the final word. But any thoughts, Beverly, that you want to say for keeping the spirit of love after Christmas?
Yeah, the spirit of love, it's Jesus in one of his statements. He said that we should love one another, and in so doing, people will know that we are his disciples. So love is very important, and love is a spirit, because I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7. It said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So love is indeed a spirit, and it's a spirit that can be transferred to other people. I tell my children now they're grown, every time I talk to them, I love you. When my grandchildren come around, I hug them, kiss them, I love you. Because it is so important for them to hear that you love them.
Okay, excellent. Sorrel is spelled, they sent me text on it, S-O-R-E-L-L, S-O-R-R-E-L, I'm sorry, S-O-R-R-E-L.
Yeah, that's
and thank you
spelled.
All for, yes, thank you for that. Thank you very much. Monica, let's bring you in. Any final thoughts? And then Pastor Howard, then we're going to give the final word to Lady C. Monica, any final words on keeping the spirit of love after Christmas, just briefly?
Absolutely. Like I said before, and Dr. Walker, I was listening and I had some thoughts that I hope I will get a chance to share, because I was in pre-K when, you know, in a private school when my 11-year-old started acting weird, and the very issues that you have related to tonight. And then, you know, I started subbing from K to 8, and I've had those very experience. I want to leave with us tonight, like I said before, Matthew chapter 11, chapter 28, verse 11. Let not your heart be troubled. He believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's heart are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again.
I will come again.
I will see you unto myself. That where I am. Soon we'll be done with
Thank
the troubles
you.
Of this world. Let us encourage everyone to turn their eyes upon Jesus and look fully in his wonderful face.
All right. Thank you for that. Pastor Howard, just briefly, we're almost out of time, and we want to give Lady Tia time to give her closing thoughts. Pastor Howard, any closing thoughts that you could give on keeping the spirit of love after Christmas?
Well, I would give that we should practice love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're not willing to give our only begotten son. So since it's already been done by our Father, let us share the love. We'll receive it first and then share the love that was given. And love
the love that passes all understanding, that, I mean, the love that passes all the faults that we see in people. Let us love in spite of people's faults. Let us get in a place where we just share love. Learn love and share love. And those would be my closing thoughts. Learn
right.
Love,
awesome.
Practice love, and share love.
Amen. Lady C, we're giving you the final thought, the final word on keeping the spirit of love after Christmas.
Well, Colossians says it all. Colossians 3:4 says, love binds everything together in perfect harmony. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what situation you may be facing at home, work, or anything, you still show love. To whatever negativity that comes to you, you overpower that negativity with love, because love at the end is more powerful than anything that can happen to you, you know? So love, love is everything. And every day I tell my children all day that I love them, and they do the same thing to me. I show love. They know they receive it, and they give it right back to me. So show love to strangers too, people in the street. Walk up to them. You know, hey, how you doing? Have a great day. You know, tell them God bless you, because there's a lot of Christians out there that we don't even know that are Christians. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And just by you walking up to that person, and that person may be having a bad day, just by you saying hi and saying, hey, you know, everything will be all right, that might be God using you, letting that person know that their situation is about to be turned around and everything's going to be all right. So show kindness and love through your words as well, and not just, you know, amongst your family, but throughout the public.
Awesome. Thank you for that. We're clearly out of time. We certainly appreciate you all joining our one-hour inspiration program, which is actually 90 minutes on Friday night. We trust that you've had a very pleasant day today, during this Christmas day today, and we certainly look forward to you all joining us back here next Friday night. Remember to join us next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass that, join us back here next Friday for your one-hour inspiration program. And until next Thursday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.